A prayer of David. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. That's why we'll begin this edition of Chris Fabry Live on the National Day of Prayer. That's from 1 Chronicles 29. And we're going to join our hearts together today with several guests that we've asked to pray with us. And I hope this time will be encouraging to you as we pray about some of the difficult things we're facing in the country, in the church, in your personal life, and also the ways God is moving and answering prayer. My main question for you and our guests today is, what's weighing heavy on your heart on this National Day of Prayer? I want you to think about that as we get started. First, by thanking Ryan McConaughey doing all things technical. Trisha is our producer. Lynn will be answering your calls, which reminds me, you can call us today. Our line's going to be open at 877-548-3675. When I think of prayer, one of the first people to pop in my mind is Dr. Bill Thrasher. We've talked about prayer with him many times. We gave away his book on resurrecting a dead prayer life earlier this year. He's a graduate professor of Bible and theology at Moody Theological Seminary, frequent speaker for churches and retreats across the country. Dr. Thrasher, thanks for starting off our program off today. I've always heard thanking God and praising him as you begin to pray is a good way to start, rather than just going down your list what you think you need. You agree with that, right?
I totally agree with that. And I love the passage that you read to start off with. You know, after they made this incredible collection for the temple, the focus wasn't on what we've done, but it was on the God who made everything possible. That's a fabulous, I can't think of a better scripture on the sovereignty of God.
Yes. Amen. Would you do that for us? Would you start us off with thanksgiving and praise?
I will glad. You know, Father, when we think of you telling us every good and perfect gift comes from you, Lord, every mouthful of food, every kindness, everything we ever experience other than the judgment that we deserve, the torment, Lord, we owe to you and your unadulterated grace. We start out, Lord, how I start out today, just thanking you for who you are, the various attributes that you've done. I pick one a day, but I want to praise you today that your spirit, Father, you have revealed yourself. And Lord, you can live inside of us, dear Father. You can satisfy our innermost being. You know, in a sense, our hearts. We thank you for that. We thank you also for what you've done for us in Christ and blessing us with every spiritual blessing. We thank you that in him you have declared to us that we can find acceptance in you. We can find security in you. We can find significance in you. Lord, we thank you that we're not making this pilgrimage by ourselves, even this whole aspect of prayer, but you've given us the Spirit. And we ask you to fill us afresh with the Spirit of God. I pray that for everyone that would be involved. We pray that you would go through the radio waves, Lord Jesus, and minister to every home, every life, every car that's tuned in. And we thank you, God, for the position we have in Christ. And we realize we're all in a battle, all in a war. And we want to take our position with you, Lord Jesus. We praise you that we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places above all principalities and power. So, Father, we worship you. We thank you. We are blessed, dear God. And we praise you for the privilege of being part of a community, even part of an opportunity like this to pray with others and agree with others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we prayed before the program to live in a place where even on the radio you can have this kind of conversation, where you can,
amen,
where you can pray openly to
thank
God.
On
the air, you know?
Amen.
Now, so the question that I'm asking, and on our website, we have a way for people to respond to us. And I'm seeing just a couple of people here. Pray for family relationships to be healed and at peace in Jesus, that grandchildren will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Healing of health issues and allergies in our three-year-old child and a prodigal who's estranged from the family. That's just one person who's leaving a request.
Wow.
That's what's on their heart. So today, I'll ask you the same question. Is there something heavy on your heart today on this National Day of Prayer?
Well, I think certainly that I realize this is a crisis moment. This is a crisis moment in our land, and certainly every individual in its own way is a crisis moment in their lives and families as they know certain events. But in this crisis moment, I was just drawn back to our Lord in the crisis moment in his life, you know, when he was approaching the cross and he was about to go to Gethsemane, and he chose his three closest human friends, his three closest disciples there to go with him. And they were confident. He told them, you're going to forsake me. And Peter said, look, even if I have to die with you, I'll never forsake you. But when he brought them to pray three times, it said they slept. And they weren't prepared for that crisis moment. They denied the Lord three times. Now, I think God's admonition to his church, Romans 13:11, it's time for you to awaken from sleep. We have this crisis moment. Now, I praise God that God doesn't end. Yeah, he does deny the Lord, and he weeps bitterly. But God restores him. He comes to him again. And three times in John 21, he gives him an opportunity. Do you love me? Do you love me? And he says, tend my sheep, take care of my lambs. So he restores him. And he's a totally different person in the book of Acts. He's not sleeping in that prayer meeting where the church is born in the book of Acts. At the day of Pentecost. He's devoted to prayer, Acts 2:42. Goes up with John in the hour of prayer. When they have a crisis, he calls his disciples and they call a prayer meeting in Acts 4. So God wants to, God says he's much more concerned with the sin of his people than he is the sin of the world. Judgment begins with the household of God. And so leave God, I would just say, for the glory of his name, to restore you in any way, anything between you and God's full blessing on your life, believe him for that. I like those four cries that I've often used, and you've heard many, many times, Chris, on the four cries of the Welsh Revival. Confess and forsake any known sin. Confess and forsake any doubtful habit. In your private moments, instantly obey the Holy Spirit's promptings and acknowledge Christ. I'll say one other thing, just that, this Ezekiel 36, God's people are away. They're under discipline. It says, you have profaned my name, because the people say, look, you're the people of the Lord, but you're out of the land. You're not experiencing God's blessing. There's Christian leaders that tell us that the discipline, that much of the church is under discipline. God has withdrawn his manifest presence. His spirit is quenched in grief. But I like God doesn't leave them there. He says, look, I'm about to act. I'm going to act for my sake, for my name's sake. I'm going to restore you and bring you back to the land. So I just say, God, for the glory of your name, would you restore your people? I just say, you know, when we see all the turmoil that's happening on college campuses, I'm old enough to remember something of the turbulent late 60s and 70s. That's when I was in college. And God sent an amazing work of God. The fact that this crusade leader that discipled me for 2 years, he was on staff, just graduated from the University of Georgia, and I was at Auburn. And for 2 years there, I was in his action group. There was 12 of us. And then he went off to seminary, pastored for the last 46 years. I saw him a couple weeks ago. I flew in his wife up here, and we had a wonderful week together. Of those 12 guys, one of them is with the Lord, but all 11 of them are still walking with God and serving God. God, that's the kind of thing God was doing. I saw two of them about a month ago. One's still serving on crew staff at age 70, and the other one has planted and pastored a church and still very involved in that church, although he's vocationally retired. So that's that God would prepare us for this crisis moment. It could be an incredible time of opportunity. And so that's my prayer for all your faithful listeners, your friends there that help, that God would prepare them for this faithful moment. That is my prayer.
I really am glad you said that, because you mentioned somebody in the car. There's probably somebody in the car right now who's going through that. And the crisis is the external thing, or it could be a financial thing or a job thing, a relational thing or whatever. And you think, if I can just get past this, but maybe God has given that crisis moment in your life to draw you back to himself. That would be a really great thing to happen out of the crisis that you're going through, whatever that is for you today. And I want you to hold that. I've written some things down. You started with the Spirit of God, Dr. Thrasher. We've gone to this crisis moment and the awakening. We're going to continue the conversation with a couple of other guests who are coming up in just a moment. That's Dr. Bill Thrasher. God bless you, friend. Thank you for starting us off today on Chris Fabry Live on this National Day of Prayer. If you go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, you'll see more about Dr. Thrasher and our other guests during this hour. Click through today's information right there at chrisfabrylive.org. This is Chris Fabry Live on the National Day of Prayer, and I've invited several friends to come alongside us here and to pray with us and for us. 2 years ago, we met Pastor Craig Allen Cooper, who had befriended a singer-songwriter named Walker Hayes, and they wrote a book together, Glad You're Here, and it was a look into the transformation that God can make in somebody's life who doesn't know Him, as well as the revival that can happen in someone who has walked with Jesus for decades. So I've asked Craig to come along today. He has a new book out, 100 Meditations on the Tender Heart of God. It's called Overflowing Mercies. We have it linked at the website. Craig, welcome back. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. Happy National Day of Prayer.
I have two things I want you to address and pray for, and the first is the people who have posted online or in a message left, whether Facebook or our website. When listeners give a gift, they can leave a prayer request, and one person said, please pray for my son and daughter-in-law, both of whom need Jesus and don't realize it yet. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that and I thought, that's it. You know, we don't realize what we need. You don't know what you don't know. So praying for those who don't have a relationship with Christ really is the first step, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah, because we can't change anybody's hearts. That's something that only God in heaven can do, and He's so eager to do that. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus, to live the perfect life that we could never live, and then to die in our place as a substitute so that we could be fully forgiven, fully redeemed, have the gift of eternal life, be reconciled to God. And so, yeah, prayer is absolutely the place to start when we are yearning for someone, their life to be transformed. And I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it echoes what Dr. Thrasher was talking about with the Spirit of God. You know, it's the Spirit that has to work there, and we can't see that going on. But I wonder if you would take that, you know, son and daughter-in-law who don't realize they need Jesus, and anybody else who's listening today, you have a spouse, you have a child, you have a relative, you have a neighbor, there's somebody you work with. I want you to think of that person. And Craig, would you pray for that situation?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your steadfast love. Thank you that you love us so much that you sent your Son as Savior. Lord, we know this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Lord, that is the mission that you're on. And I pray now for everybody who has a loved one on their heart this day, right now on this National Day of Prayer, who has a friend, a family member, you know, an individual, a neighbor, a coworker who does not know you, and they are burning, that their friend is burning for them to have that relationship with you that can only happen by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray right now that you would in mercy come and direct those individuals' attention, their heart, their affections upward and outward to you. And pray that you would do whatever it is you have to do, Lord, in their lives to help them see their need for a Savior and your provision of a Savior in Jesus the Christ. I pray for that, Lord. I pray particularly for this request that came in. God, please work on the behalf of the individuals who are praying and draw their friends, their family members, their loved ones to Jesus and open their eyes to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, bring new birth, regeneration, save souls. Lord, that's what you sent Jesus to do, and we pray that you would do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I agree with Craig, and I pray for real boldness where the person needs to be bold, or maybe the person listening right now had an opportunity and it passed and they're kicking themselves. Don't let the enemy hold them back from being bold another time. But also patience for the person who really wants this to happen and feels like they've got to make it happen, and they know that they can't. They know it's got to be a work of you, as Craig just prayed. Work in that person's heart, in this longing to draw that other person to your son.
Yes.
Work in that person's heart for that patience, that long-suffering that you have given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
The other thing that I really wanted you to address here, Craig, is for the pastor, for the leader in the church, the burned out, the person dealing with anger issues, the pastor who's feeling not being able to accomplish what they've been called to do because of all of the things that happen in a church setting. And I wanted you to pray about this because I know you've written about it. You have been there, haven't you?
I have, yes. I have. I've experienced seasons of deep discouragement and in massive amount of weariness and even burnout. And the Lord has met me there. So I'm really grateful for that. And yeah, for anybody who's walking through that right now, I would encourage them. Your labor in the kingdom of God matters. And your work is being noted by God himself. It won't be overlooked, and your work will be rewarded by God. But the Lord also understands your weariness and desires to refresh you. And he can do that by the power of his Spirit. He wants to do that in your life.
How did you make the turn, or what was the change agent for you to get from where you were to restored or revived, whatever the word is?
Yeah, you know, my story is I came to faith in Christ in, it was actually October 26th of 95 through a campus ministry outreach at the University of Tennessee, and I was so on fire for the Lord that the church that was connected to that campus ministry, you know, said, "Do you feel called to ministry?" And I said, I do, you know, because I wanted to give my life to Christ and do what that gentleman did who had just led me to Jesus, and so I got kind of on the track for pastoral ministry from a very, very young age. And about 21, I was serving as the second pastor in a church that was small but thriving and growing. So it went, during the time I was there, from 250 to about 1,000. I packed out every night, and, you know, Monday night worship practice, Tuesday night Bible study, Wednesday night a small group, Thursday night I was preaching on campus to the campus at the campus ministry where I heard the gospel. Friday night I was doing a social event, and then Saturday night getting ready for church and the responsibilities I had there. And then on Sundays, my wife and I would connect for a date night. And you can imagine we did that for 2.5 years, and I just completely burned out. And I have since, what happened is I actually got let go of that particular ministry role. And then about 5 years later, they came back and said, I stayed in the same church. He said, "Craig, we wish that we had never released you, and we feel like you are called to ministry, and would you consider coming back on staff?" So the Lord really redeemed it, and he also taught me how to work hard and also rest in him and be, you know, wise with my time in ways that I really wasn't in my early days. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for what I experienced, but I'm also prone to, you know, just, you know, to continue at times to burn the candles at both ends. And I need to hear the Lord consistently in returning and rest is your salvation. Quietness and trust is your strength.
You had to have humility though, to be let go from a church and stay in it. You know, I mean, that and the process that you went through there, there's something in that story and in the meditations that you've written, the devotional that you've written, that might help somebody who's walking through that. If you go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, you'll see that book that Pastor Craig Allen Cooper has written. Just click through today's information. Overflowing Mercies is the title. But would you specifically pray for that pastor, that leader who is leaning a little closer to the radio today?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Let's pray right now. Lord, you know our frame. You know how we're made. You remember that we're from dust. You know that we grow weary. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. Lord, I praise you and thank you that you give power to the faint. You give power to the faint, Isaiah 40 says, and to him who has no might, you increase their strength. And so I just pray for the one who is worn out, worn thin, stretched thin, broken right now, that you would come and just refresh them and give them wisdom. If there's anything they need to adjust or change, give them great friends to surround them and uphold their, like hold their hands up. And Lord, I pray that you would renew their souls and grant them power from above as they lean on you and trust in you. You are our God. You will not forsake us. You said you open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. And you make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. And Lord, I pray that you would do that for our friends right now who are listening and who are weary, that you would just make their wilderness turn into a pool of water and their dry land into springs of water. Let it just come out in a way that even surprises them and amazes them and encourages them and helps them see that you are hearing their prayers, you are seeing their work, and you will not leave them. You'll not forsake them. And I encourage them by the power of your spirit with Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust as to overlook your work and the love that you've shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. Lord, you see and you're noting all of it, and we can't give a cup of cold water to somebody who belongs to Christ and lose our reward. You see that. You see all of that. And so, Lord, grant power to the faint, renew and refresh and strengthen and give wisdom and help our friends know that their labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I pray they would be steadfast and movable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. They would do it with rest in you and that you would refresh them even right now in yes. Jesus' name.
And confidence in your power. Yes. Craig, I can't thank you enough. Yesterday, we had a caller who said that her prayer is, "Let my tears water the garden of another." And I wonder if that same thing might happen in the leader's life, you know, the struggle that they're going through, that this would water the garden of somebody else to show them how they're walking through it. Thanks for your work. Can't wait till you come back and talk with us about overflowing mercies, okay?
Thank you, Chris.
After that program yesterday, we had Becky Harling on. I asked her a question. Becky was talking about the Lord's Prayer, and her six-week study is called Our Father. It's our thank you this month, so you can find out how to receive it at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. But when the program was over, I told Becky that we were going to pray today, and I asked her the same question I'm asking you. Is there anything heavy on your heart that comes to mind? Ryan, are we okay with the... I think we could do that. Isn't it 127? I don't want to argue with you. Okay, so we'll hear from Becky when we come back from a break. But let's go to the studio and talk with Roy Patterson, who is sitting right there in the studio. Roy, one of my favorite people in the world.
Hey, Chris, how are you, brother? I'm good. Good to hear your voice, bro.
Good to hear your voice on the National Day of Prayer.
Yeah, man, I'm so excited that everywhere I turn, I see people praying, people congregating. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it is. And powerful is the word, because when you connect your heart, even with the, you know, that we were talking, Craig was praying for people who have friends and family members who don't know Jesus. This is where the power comes from. It doesn't come from us. It comes from him.
Yeah, right? Absolutely right. And, you know, today I'm praying for the lost as well. I'm praying for those that are struggling. had a phone call from a young man that I've known since he was a little kid. And he said, hey, I just lost my job, the place I'm living at, I'm about to lose that. And I don't know where God is. And I think a number of people are facing different iterations of that. They're wondering, yes, is God really good when things seem to be so bad? And so I'm praying for hope today as well. I'm praying that God will restore hope.
We're going to do that. I hope this is encouraging to you. Here's our number, 877-548-3675. You can answer the question on Facebook as well today. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. What is it that is weighing heavy on your heart today? Would love to hear from you. Again, 877-548-3675. You're going to hear what's on Roy's heart straight ahead. And there's a whole lot more coming up right here on Moody Radio. As we continue on this National Day of Prayer, I usually mention CareNet here and encourage you to click the green button and all that at the website. Today, I want to give thanks for the work of CareNet. Father, you know the lives that have been saved through the work of this group of people around the country. You know the babies who are breathing today because there was someone there to stand in the gap, to talk with a pregnant mom who was scared, who didn't have a vision for that child or what life was going to look like. Thank you for the men and women who are learning what it means, for the men who are learning what it means to be a father and who never had a good father role model. Thank you that CareNet is doing that good work and that every day they're helping people see the truth, that you are the one who knits us together in our mother's wombs, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by you. And we pray for rescue today through the phone line, through somebody who walks into a resource center, through the work of CareNet. Rescue a soul who needs a relationship with you through this. We know that people come to you through the ministry of CareNet. So we pray your hand of blessing on that ministry of CareNet and all of the pregnancy resource centers around the country who are lighthouses for life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, he's one of my favorite people on the planet. I love his voice. I love his heart for people. Community Relations Director at Moody Bible Institute, host of Music for Sunday and Urban Praise, a graduate of Moody Bible Institute and Trinity International University. He speaks all over the place. Roy Patterson, I want to ask you that same question. What is heavy on your heart this National Day of Prayer?
Hopelessness. I'm running into people all the time that are going through trials and tribulations, and this is the challenge, I think. If you really want to have a testimony, you've got to go through a test. And unfortunately, people have spread a gospel that says, if you come to Christ, you'll have $1 million in the bank, you'll have a Cadillac, and you'll have strawberry sundaes forevermore. Well, you might get a car, you might get a strawberry sundae, et cetera, but you're also going to have trials and tribulations, and you need to have the strength to make it through. And so I'm praying for people today who feel hopeless, like life is not worth living. I thought everything was going to be perfect, and it crumbled in my hands. God is still God, and he still got you. So, that's what's on my heart.
We had a caller yesterday or the day before that who fit very much into that category of just not knowing where to turn,
sure,
and what to do. And that's a difficult situation to be in, or to have a friend, you know, the people who are around them who don't know what to do with their predicament, right?
Yeah, it really is a challenge. And I think sometimes the Lord will let you be in a situation where nobody gets you, nobody understands you, and you have to turn to Jesus. You have to rely on him. And I've been there. I know what it is to struggle and to struggle by myself, but I've also seen God step in and make me stronger, wiser, and better. It's sort of that pit to the palace thing that Joseph went through. God gave him a preview of the fact that his brothers and his father would bow down to him, but the Lord did not say, your brothers will throw you in a pit, you'll be sold into slavery, you'll be accused of a crime, you'll be thrown into prison, and you'll be forgotten while you're in prison. The Lord left that part out. but he did bring it to pass. His brothers did bow down, not even knowing then that Joseph would be used to save Egypt in that era.
Isolation comes in with that hopelessness, and that's where the body, but it takes real courage to reach out, especially if you've been hurt before by somebody you care about or even people in the church.
Oh my.
So that isolation, God can, here's one of the prayer requests I'm seeing. Pray for my husband who had a mini stroke, is in assisted living. He's working on gaining strength to be able to come home. I'm 83, he's 85. Mm. Life is challenging. The Lord is helping us every day. Pray for us to know God's will for our days. Mm. So there's a place where it sounds like, you know, it could feel very hopeless from day to day, but she's choosing to say no, but God is in the middle of this. That's half the battle, I think, isn't it?
I think it is too. The scripture of the Lord is really put deep down in my heart over the last month and a half is 1 Peter 5:7, the one that says, casting all your cares upon him because he cares about you. So I was praying that verse the other day, and I thought of a song that said, just tell Jesus, tell him all, trials great and trials small. He will bear them, freely share them. Just tell Jesus, tell him all. And I think it's important that as we cast all our cares, big or small, that we remember that this great, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God does care about us, and his ways are above our ways, and his thoughts are above our thoughts.
Pray for the hopeless person who might be listening today and the people who love that person.
Yeah. Well, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for being God. You're God all by yourself. Angels bow before you. Heaven and earth adore you. What a mighty God we serve. You can do anything with anybody at any time. And many, many times we think that you ought to do your will our way. And we expect you to do things when we want you to do it, how we want you to do it. But we want to thank you that your thoughts are above our thoughts. Your ways are above our ways, and you're still able to do more than we can imagine. So we would ask today for those that are going through, you give them strength. God, even if you don't calm the storm, give them the calm assurance that you're with them and you'll never leave them, nor will you forsake them. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would strengthen them deep down on the inside, strengthen their minds, strengthen their hearts. Help them to remember the Lord is my light and my salvation. Help them to remember the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Help them to remember that you're good even when things are going bad. I pray your word will just enrich their souls and that that faith that's necessary for times like these will stand up in them. Thank you for Fanny Crosby's words, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I pray in the name of Jesus that they would walk in that assurance. They would walk in the light of your love, a love that's not just based on circumstances, but a love that reaches all the way back to Calvary, to the empty tomb, and even from the beginning. Thank you, God, that from age to age, you're the same. You're loving, you're caring, and you're present. I pray hope would touch the hearts of those that are hopeless today. Cause them to look up and live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, friend, may you hang on to that kind of hope, that hope that will never fade. God bless you, Roy. Thanks for being with us today.
God bless you, Chris. Yeah. Appreciate you, man.
Work on that book now.
Yes, sir.
Go read that book.
I
mentioned a little earlier, Becky Harling was here yesterday. We were talking about the 6-week Bible study, Our Father, which, by the way, is our thank you this month. You can find out more if you go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org. But I said after the program was over, I said, Becky, we're going to pray about things that are heavy on people's hearts. What is heavy on your heart? What comes to mind? Here's what she said.
Yeah, Chris, I think what's weighing most heavily on my heart these days are the parents of adopted kids. You know, they've gone out on a limb and adopted these kids. And so many adopted children come with post-traumatic stress disorder, which plays out in a multitude of different ways. And these parents need our prayers because they are modeling the heart of God in adopting children. And I just want to pray for encouragement and courage and strength for them. Lord Jesus, you know every parent out there who has adopted a child. And Lord, nothing mirrors your heart quite like adoption. And so, Father, I want to pray for every parent out there who maybe has a child that is having sensory issues, or a child who's having some anger issues, or a child who has attachment issues. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen these parents. You've called them to this, and you've promised that you will equip and empower us for everything that you call us to. And so I pray that you would strengthen them. I pray that you would give them courage. And I pray that you would give them wisdom, wisdom that can only come from you, for how to best love their kids and help their kids to feel connected and embraced and safe and whole. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's Becky Harling, who was with us yesterday. I've got Nancy Guthrie coming up. She wants to pray for anybody who is walking through a valley in your life. If that's your struggle, I hope you'll stay with us. This is Chris Fabry Live on Moody Radio, online, chrisfabrylive.org. I'm so glad we had the opportunity to do this together at the back fence and meet together, talk about what's on our hearts, pray about it, take it to somebody who can do a lot more than you and I can do. And one of those people is Nancy Guthrie. She teaches the Bible at her church and conferences across the country, internationally as well. She has a bunch of books. We've given away some of them here on the program, DVD series. She lives in Nashville. Nancy, on this National Day of Prayer, we had the person call in yesterday and said, let my tears water the garden of another. And it strikes me that through the valleys that you have walked through in your life, that has happened. God has used the wounds of your life to reach into other people. Is that true?
I pray that's true. They tell me it's true. And isn't that the longing of our hearts in the lowest places of life, that it will not be wasted pain, but that in fact God will use it in some significant way in our own lives and in the lives of others.
Yeah. But we can't control it. You know, that's the hard thing. You know, I want Joseph's story to happen to me, but I want to know ahead of time what God's going to do, you know? So I have to know how long I got to wait and do all that. And there's some prayer requests here. Prayer for a brother who is a widower. His house was damaged by the rain and tornadoes this past weekend that blew through there. He's by himself. He's in his 70s. Mm. And then the next is a person who met a believer on a missions trip from Haiti, asking God to provide money for his a procedure that he had in the hospital. He doesn't have the money for the medicine, and they're sending him home today and holding his passport. You know, so there's a couple of valleys right there, a storm in both of their lives. And then you could go to each individual person who's listening today, and there's, as we heard Dr. Thrasher talk about, a crisis that's going on or a valley that's going on, right?
You know, Chris, I was doing one of my biblical theology workshops for women this past weekend, and, you know, I'm there amongst so many people. And so as I've been listening to everyone praying and thinking about needs, I've just thought about three women that I met at that workshop. One was a woman who she's in her 40s, and she's been diagnosed with ALS. And, you know, which is a very grim diagnosis, and she's seeking to hold on to faith in Jesus Christ. I think about a woman who, with many tears, told me with great disappointment about her husband who had been drug addicted and overcame it, and they gave their testimony at the church, and she's only recently discovered that he has relapsed. And then a mom who told me about her son recently telling her that he's gay and pursuing that lifestyle. You know, all we have to do is be around people just a little bit, and we realize the deep pain that is a part of life in this world. And so it makes us so very grateful, doesn't it, that we have a Heavenly Father who is not uncaring about these things, but actually welcomes us to bring them to Him and cast them before Him. In fact, in 1 Peter 5, we're told, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him." And then almost as if answering the question, why would we do that? Because He cares for you. What a foundational truth we have to hold on to really believe that the God of the universe, who has the power of life and death in His hands, that His heart is not hard or cold, and His ears are not closed, and His eyes are not closed, but in fact, He cares for you.
I hope you, as you listen, you see the hand of God, even in this hour that we've been praying, and how He's moving through those who've come alongside us. Nancy, would you pray for those in the valley right now?
Absolutely. Lord, so many of us have, if there's anything we've memorized in the Bible, perhaps it is Psalm 23, which tells us that we don't have to be afraid in the valleys of life, because You are there with us. And we are so deeply grateful to know it. And because of that, we don't have to fear evil. And we can believe that You are at work and experiencing Your comfort. But Lord, I give voice to the many who are within the sound of my voice, and many who have submitted their prayer requests, who honestly wonder, Lord, if You're with them in the valley. It is so dark. And sometimes in the valley, we flail around and we wonder if our prayers are getting through to You. And because perhaps we're not seeing You act in our timeline or in the ways in which we were hoping You would act, we can be tempted to think that You are not hearing, that You are uncaring, that You are inactive in our lives and unaware of our desperate need. And so, Lord, we're just so grateful for the scriptures that assure us that You are near to the brokenhearted, and that You save those who are crushed in spirit. We hear You calling us through the scriptures. We hear words like in Psalm 20, these are words, when we hear them, we think, okay, it's what I want to do. I'm not sure I have it within me to do it. These words that say, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Lord, that's what we want to do. Lord, would You help us to do that? Sometimes we feel as though we just don't have it within us to work up the faith to trust You in the valleys of life, in our difficult circumstances. And so our prayers begin there, Lord. Would You give us the desire we need to talk to You about it? Maybe we've been really busy talking to other people about it. Give us the desire, the will, the opening to talk to You about it. And then Would you give us the grace we need to trust you? To trust that you will give us the grace we need. I think about 2 Corinthians 12:9. This was your promise to Paul. He's prayed desperately 3 times, Lord, take away this thorn in the flesh. And why is he praying 3 times? I guess because it seems that you're not answering. At least you're not answering in the way that he hopes you will. And so he persists. And then finally, he hears Jesus speak, saying to him, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. And so, Lord, we just ask you for that grace. Mm-hmm. Would you give us the grace we need in the form and the timing and the quantity in which we need it? Amen.
Yes. Amen. Nancy, thank you. God bless you, friend. Keep doing what you're doing and come back and see us real soon, okay?
I'd love to.
Let me end today's program on the National Day of Prayer with the way that we began it, a prayer of David. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. And you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. I hope that you have grabbed on to a little bit of the hope of my friends who've come alongside us here today. If you go to the website, you can see more about our guests who have prayed with us and for us today. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org, click through today's information. You'll see it right there. God bless you, friend. Thanks a lot for praying along with us at the back fence. Chris Fabry Live is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.